Gungatrek SBS Hayrena. The following program will focus on films featuring a guest who is a young Australian-Armenian filmmaker. Matthew Kaysoglu, a filmmaker based in Melbourne, will be discussing his new film in the program. Matthew, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you very much, Vahir, for having me back on the show. Last time we spoke, it was pandemic time. And the last time I was on, I was talking about short film of mine at the time called His Trembling Hands, An Immigrant Ghost Story. This time I'll be talking about my latest short film, When Dogs Bark.
Matthew, in our previous conversation, we discussed your interest in filmmaking. To summarize, could you provide an overview of your journey in films and filmmaking?
Yes, of course. So I've been interested in the arts pretty much from a very early age. So around my kind of university starting point, which around 2015, I began in filmmaking. I'm still in university. I did a bachelor, I did an honors, and now I'm currently doing a master's. I am interested in the horror genre. So the horror genre specific to a thing called sociocultural horror. And all the films that I've made since beginning university have been about looking at elements of culture and heritage and basically relaying them through aspects of the horror genre. So I made one short film in, I think, 2016, and then another one in 2021, which was His Trembling Hands. And, you know, I also run a film festival as well. So I'm a filmmaker, I'm a practice-based researcher still at Deakin, and I run a film festival called the Multicultural Mental Health Film Festival, which has been going on for 3 years now. But just in regards to my filmmaking work, I just got started by my love for cinema and the power of film, because everything I do is based around cinema. And, you know, the power of it is that it's a digestible form, and it allows people to kind of showcase and express themselves. And for me, it's the best way to kind of express myself and my culture and my heritage and the things I want to talk about through film.
Matthew, how do you feel about the feedback your short film, His Trembling Hands, received?
Well, some of the feedback with that film was fantastic. We had that film in a few film festivals. So roughly around 10 or so film festivals we had that one in. We had that in a few international film festivals, and then a few online film festivals. I do remember the immediate response that when people started watching the film and people started selecting the film was, oh my goodness, this is serious now. And the reason I say that is because any filmmaker can kind of have that moment when they realize that people recognize their work. And that kind of shook me. So post His Trembling Hands, we had that film showcased in a few cinemas, but one cinema was this kind of showcase of local short Australian works. And I remember sitting down and watching His Trembling Hands in a room full of audiences. And, you know, that film is all about migrants. And again, it ties into the cultural aspect, but it's all about migrants in a very universal sense. But it's a tragic story. And I remember turning around and seeing all of these people watching the screen and crying and really getting involved in the story. And it's sort of at that moment that you go, wow, something I've made can produce this. So, you know, after Trembling Hands, that was my honors film at Deakin. I finished that one, and then I jumped straight into a Master of Arts, where I began in 2023, I want to say, on my current short film, When Dogs Bark, which is being done as part of my Master of Arts program.
Matthew, as you mentioned, you made a new film, When Dogs Bark. Could you talk about it?
Of course. So with When Dogs Bark, the rundown of what this film is about is, as Armenians, we know genocide. We are all shaped by the 1915 genocide. That's just a fact. You know, this idea of genocide is, it's an intergenerational thing, right? So it basically underscores and influences memory, identity, and history of cultures and peoples and whatnot. But the thing that I sort of realized in my work and in my study while making my film and my thesis was that it's not unique to me only. So with genocide, we have, of course, genocide and mass violence have left scars across, you know, whether you look at the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, whether Cambodia or Palestine, Bosnia, Rwanda, Ukraine, all of these ideas of cultural erasure and systemic violence, even in indigenous peoples, Native Americans, indigenous Australians, all of these traumas and these mass scars and whatnot shape identity and lived experience. So this film, When Dogs Bark, basically it's a 4:3 aspect ratio black and white short film that looks at genocide through the horror film. And the basic plot line is that it looks at a shepherd named the father, and his lambs are brutally slaughtered. So his intellectual son, who he's kind of separate with, returns back to the farmland, and the son is kind of drawn into his father's fear that the past is repeating itself. So the film is very much about the idea of the past and the way that the aspect of genocide has never kind of ended. And the film is presented in Greek. It's not presented in the Armenian language. I wanted to present it in Greek because that's the cast's cultural background, but it also transcends language. For anyone that understands the aftershocks of violence, you know, the Greeks, of course, understand it. And as I mentioned, Ukrainians will understand it. Palestinians will understand it. It's this idea of memories that can't be escaped, and burdens that, you know, some generations can't relate to. And it's all about this idea of not forgetting and what happens when we do forget the past. That's the kind of rundown on what the film is about.
Matthew, what emotions or responses do you intend for viewers to experience while watching the film?
I think the key thing that I want people to get out of is, you know, it is a horror film, but it's not a horror film. So what I mean by that is there's element of scares and sort of spooky imagery and all that kind of stuff, yes. But what I really want people to get from is to see the horror in the story of itself. So with it being a genocide film, I want people to understand, above all, that in the scares that portrayed in the film, that there's a meaning for those. That if they can understand this, and I bring it back to this idea of digestible form, if people can understand the horror of the genocide and the story that I'm trying to kind of portray with genocide as a sort of never-ending cycle and a loop and memory and trauma that, you know, no matter what you do, you can't effectively remove it. It's there. You know, you can't dismiss it. You can't forget it. And if you do forget it, you're condemned to repeat it. So I'm playing it kind of coy because I don't want to reveal the kind of, there's a whole nother twist and an element to the film. When people watch it, they will be able to understand what I'm talking about. But it's really something that I think people in this day and age should be confronted by. And, you know, with genocide and the nature of genocide, it's a very difficult subject to talk about. People don't want to talk about it, but I think it's necessary to talk about it. And that's what I think people should take from this, is an understanding and conversation, and a conversation to talk about the uncomfortable truths that they see on the screen in the film. I think that's kind of Paramount. And, you know, it's not commercial, but I don't make commercial work.
Matthew, can you discuss the cast and crew?
Of course. So with the cast and crew, first I'll start with the crew. So I work very closely with a friend of mine named Raman. He was the additional screenwriter, editor, and producer for the film. He also helps me run the film festival that that we work with. With Raman, he comes from a multicultural background, so stories of culture and whatnot immediately click to him. And then our cinematographer, Scott Pope, we've worked on numerous films. Well, this film and the past film, His Trembling Hands, but it feels like, you know, six films we've worked on. But yeah, him and I immediately, we know exactly the way we need to do things. So he's an award-winning cinematographer. He's done feature films, music videos, all sorts of things. And then we've got our producer, Lawrence Fellin. He runs a production company called Recliner. And, you know, he's fantastic. He really cares about the story and the way that things are going, and basically looking at how we can maximize and make the best of what the script was. So he was great to kind of provide us with that industry support. But in terms of casting, I decided to kind of stray away from the specific Armenian intent, as in to cast Armenian actors and to make it a specific Armenian genocide film. So the reason that I say that is because I didn't want to focus this film and pigeonhole it as an Armenian genocide film. The reason I'm sort of approaching it with that perspective was I find that the nature of genocide in its universality, it doesn't, you know, we as Armenians are naturally impacted by it, but I was very fascinated by the idea of genocide as an every person thing. So, as I mentioned, it's not a singular aspect that relates to us. I was wondering that by framing it as an Armenian genocide film, that others wouldn't understand it, so that people from, as I mentioned, Palestine or Ukraine or Rwanda or Bosnia would not approach it as a genocide film, but an Armenian genocide film. So what I did was I reached out to multicultural communities and actors and such, and we landed on, and I wasn't really specific with who the culture was. It could be, you know, Persians, it could be Italians, etc. But there was a Greek actor named Evangelos Arapas. He is from Melbourne, and he is absolutely he's haunting. So he sent a audition tape to me, and he spoke in his, you know, in Greek. And I remember seeing that tape and just going, that's the guy. It was such a haunting look at someone who is effectively traumatized and haunted and stuck in a repressive state that genocide has kind of left him in. And to kind of almost be the opposite to that, we looked at a young man named Carlos Sadikzay, who is Pakistani Greek, and he was cast as the son. So it's only a two-person film, roughly, and it's really about father and son engaging in, you know, generational differences, but differences of ideology and differences of just viewing the world that they're in. And the two of them brought their absolute A-game to the film. And with Evangelos, you know, he speaks Greek, so there's portions of the film that are in Greek, but he also speaks English. But Carlos, the son, doesn't speak Greek. He speaks just English. So even in linguistics alone, there's a huge disparity between these two characters, but both are marked and haunted by genocide in their respective ways. You know, sorry, the father is entirely repressed and haunted, really traumatized and stuck by genocide, whereas the son is, but he wants to effectively say that he's not. And with that kind of approach, you know, to kind of ignore or deny or to, you know, say that genocide has passed, that's where the kind of one of the crux of the film is, that you can't really, you can't push genocide away. It's always there.
Have you screened the movie yet?
Yes, we have. Yeah, so we screened it at Western Australia on the 2nd of September. It was one of Australia's biggest film festivals called Cinefest Oz. So the sound designer, Vincent, and our editor, editor-producer, Raman, and I, we went to Busselton in Western Australia. So Cineverse selected us, and we went up to Busselton, Western Australia, and the film was screened at an event called Horror in the Viewing Room. So effectively, it was a sold-out event where Cinefest showed a showcase of horror short films. And we were very lucky to be involved with Cinefest because they were very hospitable to us. So we had a Q&A after the film festival, and that's the only film festival that we've screened it in at the moment. We're waiting to hear back on a few, I think 15 other film festivals that we're waiting to hear back on. And yeah, there's a few ones that we're waiting to hear back on. I will be submitting to the Armenian Film Festival next year. We had thought about doing it this year, but our sort of showcase and our premiere had already kind of been locked in, so to speak. So we wanted to honor Cinefest.
Matthew, you have produced several short films. What challenges have you encountered as an emerging filmmaker, and in what ways have you addressed them?
I think the big aspect when it comes to challenges, it's always financial. It's always financial in terms of not having the right funding resources, or just not having the right kind of film that funding bodies might be interested in. As I said, this film is not commercial. It's a, you know, black and white 4x3 slow cinema genocide film. It's not exactly the most palatable kind of film. So, you know, we didn't need funding for this one because it was mostly given resources by Deakin University. But just in general, when looking at trying to receive funding for something like this, or the past work or future work that I'm doing, it's quite difficult because, you know, yes, I am Australian, but my work sits around in a very specific specific function with, you know, culture and horror. And horror already is quite difficult to get the funding for, because with horror, the awards don't really come. You get box office, but you don't really get the awards. And with Armenian stories or cultural stories, just in general, they're also quite difficult because it's difficult for people to sort of understand them sometimes. They might not get what the culture is about or what it's trying to say. So I think, and that ties into, I guess, another challenge is the way that I've always sort of thought to myself, are people going to understand the work that I put out? Because it being cultural work, you know, being from my heritage, or, you know, in and around heritage, I always run the risk of making something that doesn't maybe appeal to quote unquote Australia, which is, you know, that can land me into some trouble because I don't make the work that, you know, you could see on TV, or the work that you might see provided support by Screen Australia or something like that. I'd love to be wrong. And then again, with horror, that's also quite difficult to kind of sell sometimes. But yeah, I think those are the kind of ways I've gotten around it. But the ways that I've gotten around it would be based on me just plowing through. The way I see it now is I need to do the work I'm doing. I have no intention of making it palatable or commercial or sanitizing it to that effect. The reason I say that is because I have this kind of inner passion for this, and I don't want to disturb that or shift the rhythm for what I'm doing. I need to do this kind of work, and, you know, there's a kind of there's something within me that needs to keep making this kind of cinema, because it's not just horror cinema, nor is it just cultural cinema. It's a mix. And being someone that has always wanted to say things and to scream from the rooftops and to enact some degree of change or understanding, it's kind of the way I approach it, is just do it. And there are people that will say no, but you just have to push through and find other options. If, you know, one film festival isn't selecting the film, I go to another film festival. And if that film festival doesn't select it, then I go to a university or a museum. So for me, there's no such thing as a roadblock, even though there are. You just choose not to accept it.
Matthew, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the one thing that I'd like to mention for anyone listening in is, with When Dogs Bark and the work that I'm making, in general, just whether the work that I'm doing as a festival director or with When Dogs Bark, with me, I think the key aspect that I like to kind of focus on is cinema that means something. So when you log into Netflix or HBO or whatever, you might find, you know, something that on the surface is just nothing. There's films that you can see in a cinema that don't really mean anything. You know, they look flashy or they've got a star in it or whatever, but they don't actually say anything. So I think the thing that I'd like to leave with is, for me, in the films that I like to work with, I'm always looking for something that means something. So if anyone is out there that's listening to this, please keep making things that are from your soul, because we can't have people that fall into the machine, so to speak, and produce things that, you know, that make the money, sure, but they don't mean anything. So I think with me, I need to keep making stuff that I truly know means something. So with When Dogs Bark, I know for a fact that it has some element to it that I've spoken into existence about. And with genocide, I think it's important that it's a thing that is discussed. And as I said, especially for all nations, all cultures, wherever you look around in the world, in past cultures, you're going to find some element of genocide and massacres. And this is for practically every culture. And the sad thing is that that's the case. So if people can kind of keep making works that mean something, then people can start to talk about things. And, you know, by not talking about something, you make it worse. So I think that's what I would leave people. And that's where I would kind of leave it at.
Matthew, thank you for sharing your story and goals. Wishing you success in your studies and future plans.
Thank you very much, Fahit, and thank you very much to SBS Armenian for having me on again. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Our guest was filmmaker Matthew Kesoglu from Melbourne. Հավնե, լայք, բաժանեք, գործիկը թայտնե, հետևե SBS հայրենին թիմադեդրի վրա։